for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, July the 4th, 2000. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Butch Taylor of Slaughter, Louisiana is the minister of the morning.
Chloe, you can be seated. Got a question for you. Who is Lord?
Jesus.
Amen. He is Lord, isn't he?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I was impressed by what the bishop had to say a while ago, weren't y'all? He taught me a few things. I hadn't been a bishop long, but he taught me a few things. I said Sunday, I first became an archbishop, and I went on a fast, lost my arch. So he might be trying to tell me to quieten down, huh? Hallelujah. I'm excited to hear what the bishop has to say, because I heard a lot of good things about him Sunday afternoon. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, glory. I had lunch with Brother Frank the other day, and he says, Brother, he says, do you know that one of my neighbors went down to Louisiana and ran into Boudreaux and Thibodeau?
Yeah.
And
again?
Yeah. And he said when he ran into Thibodeau, he said he was looking for a bird dog. He says he said that Boudreaux had a bird dog. And he said, did you know Boudreaux raised bird dogs? And I said, no, I didn't know Boudreaux that well. I knew he liked to raise bulls, you know. And he said, yeah, he raises bird dogs, too. And so he said that one day old Boudreaux was sitting on his front porch, and up this old dog has come wandering through the yard there, and he said, get out of here. The dog wouldn't do nothing. He said, get out of here. The dog stood around. He said, well, if you're going to hang around, I'm going to train you. I think that's what Brother Glenn says. You're going to hang around, he's going to get you trained. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is a training session. So he went out there and grabbed an old dog, and it was an old blue tick hound. Put a collar around it, and he said, I'm going to take this dog hunting with me. Went back out in the swamps, and some ducks came over, and he picked up his shoot-em-up gun and shot the ducks, and they fell in the water, and he looked over at the dog and says, fetch. Dog didn't do nothing. Then he looked over and spoke a little French to him. He said, Sassali! Dog jumps out of the boat and walks out there on the water and picks up the duck and walks back to the boat and gets to the boat and shakes his feet off, makes sure they're dry, steps over the boat, gets in the boat, and hands the man a duck. He said, well, how about that? Another flock of ducks came by, and man, he picked him up his shotgun and shoot him about twice, and the ducks fall on the water, and he says, fetch! And the dog didn't do nothing. He said, oh, I forgot, that's a French-speaking dog. He said, Sassali! Dog jumps out of the water and runs out there and gets the duck and comes back. He said, man, I got to show Thibodeau this, yeah. So he went on back in, and Thibodeau was there on his front porch when he got there drinking some community coffee. He said, hey, Tib, he said, man, he said, what you think about old Blue there? He said, man, that's a good-looking dog, yeah. He said, can he do anything? He said, yeah, man, that's a good duck dog, yeah. He said, let's go in the morning. He said, no, let's go right now. He said, yeah. So they go back and they jump in their Piro. Piro's a little Cajun boat. I don't know if you know anything about it. Kind of like a canoe. They turn over easier than a canoe. And so they went out there, and here come a load of ducks over the swamp, and Tib picked up his gun. Boom, boom. Ducks fall on the water, and old Boudreaux said, fetch. Dog just looked at him. Fetch. Dog just looked at him. Then he started speaking French. He said, Sassali. That means, there it is. That's it. Go get it. Boy, that dog stepped out there and walked across the water. Turned around, picked up them ducks, brought them back in, got in the water. He said, what you think about that, Tib? He said, oh, that dog just ain't learned to swim yet.
Sure.
He said I added to it, so there got to be some truth to it, huh? Well, that's what you told me, bro. Hallelujah. Well, glory.
Glory.
I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited to be in Arkansas this morning. I'm excited to see that people will get up early and eager in the morning and want to come and hear the Word of God. I'm excited that people don't only want to hear the Word of God themselves, they want to go back and express it to someone else. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. I'm excited that God has a call on me. And I'm excited God has called each and every one of you. We all have a calling. We might not all have a five-fold calling to be in the ministry as a pastor, teacher, evangelist, or a missionary, but we all have a calling to teach the saints to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. I spoke Sunday morning on the second half of our life. Is that all right? I want to talk today about the second half of Jesus' life. There really was two parts. There's two parts of our lives. There's two parts of our lives even as a Christian. There's two parts of our lives even before we became a Christian. And God wants to deal with us. God's continuously dealing with us. You know, have you ever been to a prophetic seminar and personal prophecy was going forth and somebody would turn around and say, "Would you like a personal prophecy?" And I say, "No." "You don't want to be prophesied to?" "No." "Because I have not fulfilled the first part of the prophecy that God's given me. I need to get some of it taken care of before I can get some more." But you know, the church, they want to discount what God tells them a lot of times. "Lord, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this," and they'll take off. How many has ever got a prophecy and it's never been fulfilled? The question is to you, what are you doing with it? See, when I prophesy to somebody, it's not me, it's the Word of God that's flowing through me to you. And after it's out of me, I don't have no more worry about it. It's no more my concern. Now, what are you going to do with it? "Well, I didn't like that. I'm going to go down the street and find me another prophet." And I hear this all the time. "I got that prophecy last week, word for word. You don't even know him. I was in another state. Another preacher don't know you." Well, what are you going to do with it?
That's right.
What are you going to do with it?
Amen.
We're in the second part of our life. We're in the second part of our life. Jesus said that we are to do what we're called to do. We are to minister how we're called to minister. Boy, when I first started preaching, I wanted to be like every evangelist I saw. Boy, I was so glad to see this mic back here. Y'all remember when Jimmy Swaggart used to have a mic like this, and he used to pick that mic up and pull it off of the stand and walk around preaching with that mic? I got me one of these mics. Because I wanted to be just like Jimmy. See, Jimmy was my next-door neighbor. See, when I got back out of service and came back home, we lived in Brownsville, was a suburbs of Baton Rouge, and our house was here, and there was a house here. Jimmy lived here, his sister lived here, and his mother and daddy lived there. And I'm going to tell you something. Garage sales can be very profitable. He used to have an old Oldsmobile, a 51 Oldsmobile that he was ministering out of, pulled a little trailer behind him. And on Saturdays, he used to have a garage sale on down the street from us, and he would sell his records out from under his garage. But what the point is I'm trying to make is that we are in our second point of our life, the second time of our life. You know, don't worry about what happened in the past. Repent and go on. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's some things that's going to happen. We think because we're in the second part of our life, everything is going to go great.
Amen.
It ain't. Uh-oh, excuse me. Where's Sister Mary? It isn't. It isn't. Ain't going to go great. We're going to have some problems. You know, we think that, I would love to have ministered with Jesus and been back with the disciples. They had some problems. I'd love to go into ministry, but I don't want all the problems. I've often said, after pastoring for 19 years, if I ever start another church, I'm going to name it Troubles Incorporated. I was talking about it Sunday. You know, people come in and say, you go fishing. They come back and say, you want some fish? And the first thing they say, are they clean? Yeah. The church in Baton Rouge, a big church, bigger church than our church. But when they get a person with a problem, they get rid of the person instead of dealing with a problem.
Yeah.
And see, there's a lot of churches like that, you know. People say, well, are they clean? Hey, I had rather have a person that has gotten saved and full of the Holy Ghost last night in my church than one's moved from another city that's been over there sitting on a pew for the last 20 years.
Amen.
You ever smelt a pew? Some of you have, I can tell. I wonder if that's where we get that word, pew. If you would, open your Bibles into Mark. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Where did I tell you to go?
Mark.
I remember, I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I remember one time I was preaching in a church in Baton Rouge. And this church's tradition was, after you got through ministering, you go to the back door and you shake the people's hand as they walk out. You know, and so the pastor says, come on, let's go to the back door. Well, I remember I had gone to a Kenneth Copeland meeting one time, and he was teaching on the anointing. And when people gets down real close to you, he says, you know, you need to be certain with certs. And so, man, I got through preaching in that church, and I stuck a cert in my mouth and went to the back door. Was getting ready to start shaking hands, and I thought about that cert. So I took it out of my mouth and put it in my hand and put it in my pocket. And so when the first person got to the door, they said, Pastor, preacher, I enjoyed your message. I said, well, bless God, and I shook their hand. Well, I didn't know that cert was still on my hand. And so when I shook their hand, there was a transferring, not of the spirit. Of the cert. And the lady walks out. Well, hallelujah. Anybody want a cert? Hallelujah. I got y'all in Mark. I want to talk about the first part of Jesus' ministry is just starting. Just starting to flourish and just starting to bloom and just starting to get started. And, you know, there's a lot of people here today is sitting in that position. You know, Ronnie, how long have you been in the ministry? 19, 20 years?
23.
23. Do you realize today Ronnie's ministry is just starting as an evangelist? Been a pastor, but now starting as an evangelist. You know, my ministry is, I was an evangelist before I started pastoring, and then now I've put somebody in the church, and I'm the bishop over the church, and so I've just started as an evangelist. So this is just the first part of my ministry. Brother, you're awful young just to be starting out as an evangelist.
Yes.
First part of your ministry.
That's for sure.
Amen.
Still learning.
Hallelujah. Still learning. Still learning. And a lot of us here today is in that same position, same place. Hallelujah. If you would, go with me to the first chapter of Mark. And I want to begin reading there in verse 1. It says, in the beginning of the Gospels of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, and thou shalt prepare the way before thee. You know, that's what our job is to do, is prepare the way for Jesus' return. He goes on to say, in the voices of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, and there went out into all the lands of Judea and there into Jerusalem, and all the baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 6. And John was clothed with camel hair and girdle of a skin and of his, about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. He preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, that latcheth whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloosen. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't start your ministry until you got the Holy Ghost. Just because you speak in tongues and you're ready to go into ministry don't mean that you got the Holy Ghost. Many are called or few are chosen. But you know why they're frozen or chosen? They're frozen because they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof of God to set them free. We need to get set free. We need to get free from the doctrines of the world. I remember hearing Ken Summerall one time said that he went to England and he went to see Smith Wigglesworth. And so he said, I wanted to be real popular. He said, I had on my spats and I had on my vest and I had my little cap on. And he said, and one of the things the English people would do, they always roll them up a newspaper and they placed it on the arm. He said, I came up to the door and I knocked on the door and Smith came to the door. And looking real debonair as I was, he says, Smith, he says, I'm Ken Summerall and I came from the United States to try to get some of your anointing and to be around you and to interview you and to be with you and to be blessed with you while I'm here. He says, I've been expecting you. Come on in. And just as he stepped to the door, Smith Wigglesworth reached under his arm and took his newspaper and dropped it in the trash can right beside the door. And he says, I don't want any of that secular stuff brought into my house. See, that's what's wrong with the church. We try to start the church and we try to start a new church, but we try to start it with a secular idea, with a secular emotion, and it's not going to work because God's not in it. God's got a plan for holiness and righteousness, and He wants to separate us first. He cannot do any separation or sanctification until we allow Him and we allow the world to separate from us. It ain't the world trying to hold on to us, us hold on to the world. It's the world trying to hold on to us. It's the world trying to hold on to us. We can try to get away from it the hardest we can, but it's that world. We need the Holy Ghost. We need a new dose of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I would imagine some of y'all know what castor oil is. I'm going to tell you what, I don't drink orange juice today because of castor oil. I thought orange juice was castor oil. My mama says, have some of this orange juice. Oh, gosh. I mean, I can't hardly sit at a table with somebody going to McDonald's. They want to drink orange juice. I said, oh, Lord, hallelujah. Man. But you know what that castor oil will do? It'll do some separation. You know what that Holy Ghost will do?
Yes, He will.
It'll do some separation.
Amen.
If we'll allow it to work. If we'll allow it to work. But there's a difference between the Holy Ghost and castor oil. You got that castor oil in you, it's going to work. But you got that Holy Ghost in you, it's a gentleman. You have to allow it to work. So you all have to allow it to work. A lot of people laugh at me because I speak in tongues and I cast out devils. They ain't never seen me do one.
They've never seen God do a miracle through me, but they'll laugh at me. Oh, you go to that church down there that casts out devils. They'll probably say I pick up snakes. I don't. Just handling a lot of people that comes in church is a bad enough serpent to fool with. Not let's pick it up one literally.
But he said, there come one mightier than me that after whose, dropped down to 8, and he says, and I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. Verse 10, and straightway cometh up out of the water, he saw the heavens open up and the Spirit like a dove descending up on him.
Now, see, Jesus is starting his ministry. Have you ever thought about it? Now, Jesus was prophesied, and he was born to be in the ministry, and he's ready to go in the ministry, but before he goes in the ministry, don't even have the Holy Ghost. Now, who am I talking about? The Son of God. The Son of God. Son of God, I mean, if you go over in Genesis, it talks about, it says, God and Jesus is there already. I mean, he was the Son of God. Now, here he is, the flesh-born Son of God that doesn't have the Holy Ghost. You know, that's what's wrong with a lot of the church today. Grandma called one of them, called one of their grandkids, and they're in church. You know, they just called, ain't got the Holy Ghost, just grandma called, that's all it is. Not God called, just grandma called. Grandma put them in. I'm doing it for grandma. About like that old fellow, you might have heard about him before. And his mother goes in there and says, Get up, son. It's time to go to church. He said, Mama, I don't want to go to church. She said, I said, get up. It's time to go to church. She said, you are going to lay here all day long, and it's time to go to church. He said, Mama, I don't want to go to church. She said, you're going to go to church? I don't care what you do, but you're going to go to church. And he says, Mama, give me one good reason why I got to go to church. She says, because you're the pastor. And that's what we have standing behind a lot of pulpits. Mama going to make you go to church. I knew about drugs before drugs was a problem. My mama drugged me back and forth to church every Sunday. Hallelujah. Thank God for drugs, just the way you use them. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Man, I thought a baby was supposed to learn to sleep under the pew with her foot on them, keep them from crawling off. Man, I was washing feet before it was even popular in the church. Hallelujah.
But it says in verse 11, and there came a voice from heaven saying,
Thou art my beloved son. God speaking. Thou art my beloved son, who I am well pleased in. And if you would listen real quietly right now, without any disturbance, the Holy Ghost would speak to you. And that Holy Ghost would say, you are my beloved son and daughter, who I've called you into a work, and I am well pleased with you, saith the Lord. With your work and the potential I've given you to finish your work, saith God. Close your eyes. Be real quiet. God's speaking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just give them a vision. Speak to their heart. Speak to the direction that you're calling me right now. Yes, Lord. Open your eyes. With a show of hands. Let me hear God speak to you. What did God say to you? Amen. He said that she would minister for him and he would raise him up. Who else? Another hand. God spoke to you.
He said, I called you out by name. Before I formed you, I knew you. I have forewarned others about you to where you will find favor where you're walking.
Favor where you're walking. Favor where you are. Favor is through priesthood. See, first what happens when that Holy Ghost comes down, he comes into the priest of the family. And where so many problems we have in the family today is people in the family are fighting for that priesthood. Are you the priest? Are you the priest? Are you doing those priestly things that God would ask you to do? Is God proud of what you're doing? You need to be at the altar right now, because this is the first part of the second half of your life. You need to say, God, yeah, I'm a vessel that needs to be cleaned up. I'm a vessel that has sin in my life. I need deliverance. I need help. I came because I need help. See, God wants to use y'all. He wants to use you mightily. But there's some things, there's some transitions that has to take place. Be honest with yourself. Be honest as the priest over your family. Be honest those who you're going to be a priest over, because God says a bishop is a bishop of the souls that are under him. Be slow to step forward until you're ready to totally deny everything of the world and to pick up the hand of Jesus and to walk forward, because you didn't come here accidentally. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't even know you, never seen you before until now. Don't leave. See, Satan's already told you to leave early, prematurely. But the miracles are not going to start manifesting until the end of the service. And there's some things that God's going to set you free. You need to make reservations to stay for the rest of this meeting, saith God, because I'm going to do something in you, saith God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God wants to speak through us. Isn't it great here, God? And isn't it great when he says, my good and faithful servant, you're doing those things I've called you to do. Oh, hallelujah. A pat on the back's good, but a slap on the back end is not. The church has come to the point as all they want is the pat on the back, not the slap on the back end. A couple of weeks ago, a very dear friend of mine came up to me and he told me, he says, Butch, you're too harsh. He says, tune it down a little bit. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell it like it is. Or could you plug your ears for 1 second, Sister Mary? Or I ain't going to tell it. I don't want to hear God's word watered down. I don't want to hear this thing watered down. You want to water down your Bible? Tear out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I started Genesis. Go all the way to Revelation. You'll end up with a cover. You'll end up in a rut. You know what a rut is? That's a grave with both ends kicked out. You'll end up in a rut. With nothing. And you missed it. And God's saying, I had something for you. I need to move on here. Listen. In verse 12, and he says, well, let me go back to 11 again. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 12. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Him here is Jesus. Here the Spirit of the Lord has just come upon Jesus. He has just received the Holy Ghost. I mean, he didn't even have a chance to talk to anybody. Immediately, the Spirit came on him. He said, I got to go be with my Father. I got to go into some time of separation. I got to see what his plan is, because he's got a plan for his Son, as he's got a plan for every one of you. And you need to be in the wilderness while. You need to take a time in the wilderness and let the Holy Ghost speak through you and teach you, that you can learn and see what you're going to do. See what you're going to do. I remember how as soon as I got the Holy Ghost, I had been saved for a long time. I backslid and I came back to the Lord. But I knew that I was not going to be able to be saved continuously, because I knew there was a spirit dealing on the inside of me. I didn't know what that spirit was, but I knew that I was not going to be able to hold on to my salvation. I needed something else. And I went to my pastor and I told my pastor, I need something else. I need the Holy Ghost. Did he pray with me right then? And I mean a man of God. No, he didn't pray with me right then, because I had not been in the wilderness long enough. The church won't stay in the wilderness long enough. They want to run here and run there. And there's a prophet over here. Let me get out of this wilderness situation. Let me get this behind me. You better go back to the wilderness. You better go back to the wilderness. The Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. I mean, he just got the Holy Ghost. I mean, he had the Holy Ghost that long, and he's a gone become. He went to the wilderness. Listen to what he said in verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Jesus has just started his ministry in the wilderness. Why? Verse 12 is telling us one very, very, if you don't get anything else today, get this important thing. It's for power. 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 Turn to your neighbor and say, power.
Power.
Now get real spiritually and drop your voice down about three or four different notes and say, power.
Power.
You drove him into that wilderness with that power. Now Satan, now he's fixing to get that power. Satan says, if I can get him when he first starts his ministry, I can make a change with him. I can make some things happen. He's fixing to start a church, and there's going to be a lot of miracles happening. There's going to be a lot of deliverance coming forth. There's going to be a lot of people is going to be set free. But if I can get him right now, let me tell you what happened to me. As soon as I got the Holy Ghost, see, I knew I was called in the Southern Baptist Church. I'm not Southern Baptist anymore. I'm Holy Ghost Baptist. Amen. Hallelujah. But Satan knew that if he could confuse me when I first got the Holy Ghost, that he would get me. So I got the Holy Ghost and I went home and I loaded up my slide-in camper in the back of my pickup truck and I told my wife, I'm called to Mexico to preach. Now, I didn't know Job from Job. But I figured I could go preach to them because I didn't know how to speak Spanish, but I could preach to them that's a word I didn't know, that I couldn't preach to somebody that I knew. My wife said, you are nuts. About 90% right, too. And see, that's what happens to a lot of people. They run off out here and they got a word of God, and they find out that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's in the Bible, and they start preaching that word of God, and there's nothing wrong with it. But then Satan starts leading them astray. Then wild beasts will grab them and start telling them all sorts of things, and they just go wild. You know when people, if I get a young man in my church that wants to preach and wants to start a church, you know the best thing to do? Go rent him a building. Pay the rent on it for 3 months. But only pay it 1 month at a time because he probably won't be there the full month. But don't let him start a church in your church. You know, let him go. Because he ain't full of the Holy Ghost yet. He ain't been with no wild beast yet. I remember, oh Lord, I remember when I first started deliverance. I'm not going to talk about deliverance today, but I first started, I can tell you some situations. I have been thrown as far as here that wall by a girl that was weighed about 111 pounds. Bounced off three different walls. See, I hadn't been with a wild beast, but them wild beasts was been with me. Man, if they wouldn't puke up a demon, I'd reach my finger in there and I'd dig one out. Thought I was gonna come back like this one day. I'm gonna tell you this, and this is the truth, and I can prove it. It sounds kind of ironic. 15-year-old kid had been playing with rock music, and his daddy was a pastor friend of mine. I'd known him. I had gone to school with him, and he was coming to my prayer meeting up in the woods that we were having, and he brought his son for deliverance, and so we started praying, and the son manifested, fell on the floor, and so I got up on his chest, and I was sitting on his chest, and I was calling them rock music demons out of him. And his dad was as big as I was, and he was holding one arm. And this another friend of mine was there. He was holding the other arm. And this lady's house that we was in, she was as big as I was, and she was on a leg. And then we had somebody else on the other leg. And I was calling them demons out, and it manifested. And he took both of those that was on the arm and did them like this. Flung them. You know how God flung the stars out of his hand? He flung them. and I was the next star for him to fling. And he grabbed my arm like this and took my arm and broke it. Broke my arm. Brother Gene, he knows about this. And I have never had so much pain at one time. And I just hollered and screamed. Ronnie had us hollering in here earlier, but I could have out-hollered any of y'all when he snapped my arm. And I jerked my arm out of his hands. And when I jerked my arm up like that, this hand here, I grabbed my elbow. Only time I've ever touched that elbow. And I said, oh, my God. And then and everybody in the room, I mean, people was fainting. There must have been 30 people in the room. They were fainting. And I thought I was going to faint. And I slung my arm down like this. And when I caught my arm, it was as straight and healed as it is right now. I've got witnesses. But what happened? I had not been in the wilderness. I've not been in the wilderness. Your ministry will go nowhere until you've been in the wilderness. Satan will try and build a church with you without a wilderness experience. I want to talk about Ezra and Nehemiah. If you want to turn over there for a minute. I want to tell you how Satan will try to build a church with you. And put your finger there. We're going to come back to Mark. Is this all right? You know, at the period the church is in right now, the church is being rebuilt. Ronnie and I talked about, was it last night we talked about this some, Ronnie? And I kind of just hit on some of the things what I was going to speak on today. And I'm not going to get real heavy on Ezra and Nehemiah about rebuilding the church. Because I think Ronnie's going to speak on it. I'll be speaking tomorrow at the same time, and then I'll be leaving, going back to Louisiana, because I'm scheduled to go into hospital Friday morning for tongue cancer. They're going to do an operation, but I don't know why them doctors are so goofy down there, because I don't have any tongue cancer. You know, I'm healed. I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm healed by my confession and Jesus' death on the cross and the stripes that he received at Calvary. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And I've had a wilderness experience. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we talked about this, and I think Ronnie is going to be talking about it in the days to come. But, you know, I really enjoy Ezra and Nehemiah because it's talking about rebuilding the church. You know, and I think that's where we are today. It's rebuilding the church. And it was kind of like Sunday or Saturday night, the prophecies that came forth. And it's telling Brother Glenn that there's going to be a rebuilding of the church. We're not going to tear it down, but we're going to rebuild. We're going to start rebuilding. And the structure it was built on is good. And what I like about what it says over there in Ezra and Nehemiah, it says they rebuilt the church out of the rubbish. Out of the rubbish. Those that have been in the fire, those that have been burnt, those that have been scored, those that have been in the heat, those that have been on the back seat, those that have been in the dark places, those that have been around casting out demons, those that have been here and there and those. He says, that's what I want to build my church on these little bitty pebbles. These little bitty rocks. He's told Peter, he says, upon rocks like you, Peter, I'll build my church. Them rocks that was burnt, them rocks that have been hurt, them rocks that have been in the wilderness, this is what I want to build my rocks, my church on. Hallelujah. I am under the rock, and I ain't as high as he is. He is higher than I. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm under the rock. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Have I got y'all in Nehemiah yet? In chapter 2, I want to tell you something. I don't know what I'm going to do here in chapter 2. Time's fading on me real fast. But every time you hear or see that word, Sanballat, you need to say, that's the devil. That's the devil. That's the devil. In chapter 2, let's start off in verse 10. When Sanballat, let me start again, rerun that tape. Now, I want to tell you something here. Now, anytime you hear the word Sanballat, you need to understand that's the devil. And you need to say, that's the devil, okay? Y'all don't remember that lesson I gave you Sunday, huh? I really need a board to write Sanballat on to point to it, okay? I'm going to try y'all again. They got just too many Missouri and Texans in here to really make a good teaching. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Look at the eyes.
Look at the eyes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know that?
If the eyes dilate, they're with you.
Yeah. You know, you know, in Bible school, they taught us, they said, well, we had public speaking classes. And they said that one thing that you need to do is look at the eyes, and then you can read a man in his eyes, and you can tell what they're saying from their eyes. Amen. As the eye gate to the spirit. And then it also told us to never get our hands below our waist. And I know, Colonel Speed, I know you've heard that, and I know you taught that, because you lose their attention. And don't teach over 30 minutes, because the mind can't receive what the tail can't endure. Okay? And then they says, and if you get to a point where you're kind of stumbling around, find one of those persons that you can get eye contact in, because you can get an assurance back. You can get an understanding back. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, this church would be a lot more fun to preach in if y'all would talk to me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, say ouch then. Hallelujah. But every time I say Sanballat, you hear the word Sanballat, you need to say that's the devil.
That's the devil.
Hallelujah. All right, let's move on a little bit further. Verse 10. But when Sanballat, the Horad, and Tobad, the servant of the Amorite, and the Jezemite, and Arabiite heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing you do? Will you rebel against the king? Fix to build a church. What is this thing Brother Glenn's going to do? He's going to listen to some prophet that came in there, and he's going to go and build a church over here because something, a movement is fixing to come. Oh, that's the devil. I believe it'll be Sanballat would come and tell him, Brother Glenn, don't build over there. Jesus will come back, and we don't need that church over there. When you hear something like that, they'll say, that is the devil. You know what? I had our whole community wanted to come and help us build our church. When I did not want to name our church what I named it. I named it Manna Baptist Church. We're not Baptists. The night that I decided to form our prayer group into a church, I had prayed all day long. We have parishes back in Louisiana, not counties. And the parish that we live in is called East Feliciana Parish. And I wanted to call it Feliciana Worship Center. And so I had everybody in our church, in our house that night, about 60 people in our big den. And I said, we're going to start a church, and the name of the church is Manna Baptist Church. I was slain in the spirit, and I fell in a corner, not knowing. But see, what happened was, so I went, and I had a sign made, and I put it up. Future home of Manna Baptist Church. Man, I had everybody in the community wanted to come help. But when they found out we spoke in tongues, and when they found out that I believe that a demon can come to church, and most of them come in a three-poo suit, they didn't want to help anymore. That's Sanballat. That's Sanballat. So here we see Sanballat is wanting to help build the church. In verse 20, he said, and then answered I them and said unto them, the God of the heavens, he will prosper us. And Brother Glenn, this is something you need to understand. When you get ready to drive stakes, you ain't got to go to the community and ask money for the community. He will say, the God in heavens will help you. The God in heavens will supply. The God in heavens will be there. Hallelujah. I like the problems they had in the Old Testament. I like those problems. You know what? If you'll study these next three books of the Bible, the priest gets up one day and I'd love to do this. Jump up and say, hey, I got an announcement. Listen, hey. Hey. Listen, listen. We got a big problem here. Y'all are bringing too much money. We don't need all this money. The money's getting in the way. We got gold over here and we got silver over here. Would you please quit bringing all the money? I mean, I have got a problem.
Yeah.
And that's where they were. Why? Because they were listening to God. They weren't listening to Sanballat. They were just starting their ministry, and their ministry was only ankle deep. And God was pouring in the money. Hallelujah. The biggest problem I've ever had at our church was trying to get gravel trucks to come put gravel in because miracles was happening. People was getting set free and I was having to make room for parking every Sunday. But I'm not having that problem anymore because the devil has come in and lied to the people and the people are gone and Sanballat is happy. We don't know our enemy. The greatest military force that I know of teaches their recruits about the enemy. They know what their enemy does. They know how their enemy dresses. They know how their enemy acts. They know how their enemy maneuvers around. But we, the Christians, are being slaughtered every day because we don't care about the enemy. All we want to do is glorify what God has done in our own self and not really realizing He's done it for a purpose for us to move down the road and start our ministry and to get ankle deep in what God wants us to do. Ankle deep. You know where the church is? I'll tell you. You ever been around a cattle farmer, a rancher? Wears cowboy boots. You ever seen his boots? Huh? That's right. They had to leave their boots outside the door. They ain't learned the barnyard shuffle yet. Y'all know what the barnyard shuffle is? Walk through that barnyard and you... The church ain't letting their barnyard shuffle in. They'll let all that stuff hang on and try to bring it into the church and they think that we can use it. That stuff ain't nothing but hogwash. Oh, you can't mix the world with the church. All you got to do is just take one little swipe off of that cowboy's boot and touch your ice cream. You've not enhanced your ice cream none at all. Matter of fact, you've corrupted both. And you ain't helped that swipe on the end of your finger either. But see, that's what we try to do in the church. Come on, Sanballat, you got something. God says He's going to supply. He's going to take care. He's going to be there. Man, I want to be here that day. Brother, if there's anything in the world I hate to do in the church is take up an offering. I hate to take up an offering. I know it. You know, I'd like to be the first one to get up here, Brother Glenn, and say, listen, Brother Glenn's got a special announcement he wants me to make today. And I don't want y'all to get offended, but there's just too much money. Just too much money. Don't bring no more. Just too much. You know what? It can happen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It can happen. You know why it's not happening? Because the church is not giving properly. See, the church will give their tithes, but the church won't give offering. The church is going to be blessed off their tithes, and you can't get blessed off your tithes. You can't get blessed off your tithes. I'm just sorry. The Bible says the tithes is God's. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all remember a long time ago, they used to have them little old dogs that you put in the back of the car and the head was on a thing and do like this, you know. Every time you hit the brake, it will hit. You know what? When the church gets right with our tithes and offerings, I can get up and make that announcement. Don't bring no more tithes. Don't bring no more money. We got too much. Amen. Anybody got too much? Ain't nobody here got too much. You know why? Because we don't give enough. We don't give enough. We don't give enough. And he said, and he will prosper us. Therefore, will his servants will arise and build. And you will have no portion with us, Sanballat. No right, nor moral in this place. Do you know what? That I got our foundation of the building poured, and we started putting the structure up, and I had the masons wanted to come and put a cornerstone in our church. I said, a cornerstone? I said, I'll corner your stone. I said, the cornerstone is Jesus, and he's going to be at the pulpit, amen? He ain't going to be at the outside the church. I said, that's what's the problem with the church. They got him outside, not inside. Amen. They honor more on the outside than they do the inside. See, we ain't got to do no memorials to have him in here. You know, if there's anything I hate, that's a cake sale. Oh, we're selling cakes for Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I bet you done sold a mini cake for Jesus, huh, brother, being a baker. And then people come in, oh, brother, bake me a cake. We're having a cake sale. Our church is having a cake sale for Jesus. And he'd bake that cake, and he'd tell them about Jesus. If you're selling cakes for Jesus, you need to know Jesus, because you just half-baked. I need to speed up. Hallelujah. Y'all too easy to preach to. Where was I? Let's go back over to Mark real quick. But I want to get through this. There's 3 points I want to make. And I want to back up to verse 13 in the first chapter of Mark. And it says, and when he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts and the angels, ministered to him. And I asked y'all to say the word earlier. What did he receive? Power. Power. So you see, the first part of Jesus' ministry was when he was ankle deep in water, he received power. Let's proceed a little bit further. Verse 14. Now after that, John was put into prison, and Jesus came into Galilee, preaching to the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God is at hand, and repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and his brother casting a net into the sea, and for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I might preach that message tomorrow morning. Listen, and he says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And we had come a little ways further thence. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, John his brother, who also was in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired hands and went after him. And they went into Capernaum straightway on the Sabbath day, and he entered into the synagogue and taught. I am so glad I've been able to be here this week. I have learned a lot. Amen?
Amen.
If you ever get to the point that you can't learn anything, you're in trouble. You know what? I hate to say it, but the smarter I get, the dumber I know I am. That's right. I ask God. Do y'all ever tell any of your secrets you ask God? Let me tell you one of the secrets I asked God one time. I said, God, I said, take me real deep in you. And God, you know what God says? He said, I don't care how deep you go. He said, but I want you to go wide. And I tried to go as wide, as deep as I already was, and I found out I couldn't do it. God will let you go deep, but he also wants you to go wide. Amen? I found out something about God. He puts them cookies on them bottom shelves where everybody can get them. Everybody can get them. It's those simple things. It's those simple things that can find the wise. Listen to what he says. And they were astonished at his doctrine. Now, talking about Jesus. For he taught them one that had the authority. What is the authority? It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. See, they've never had anybody teach with the Holy Ghost before. Never had anybody teach with the Holy Ghost. And so he taught with the authority because he had the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, I can't understand spirit-filled Christians. Been spirit-filled Christians half their life are going back into dead churches. I believe they believe the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I don't understand it, Colonel Speed. going back into something that I was talking to a fellow that I had gone to Bible school, and he was over our class. He's going to a Presbyterian church. I said, they speak in tongues? No. Having miracles? No. I said, well, what are you doing there? He said, it's just good preaching. I said, are you ministering? No. I said, oh, boy, that's sick. You're sick, sick, sick. Sick. Man. I don't understand it. Sanballat will trip you up. Sanballat will trip you up. Mm-hmm. That's the devil. Mm-hmm. Listen to what he said in verse 23. He said, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, thou Holy One of God. What happened? That's never happened before. This man had been coming to church all his life. He was the deacon. He came in a three-piece suit, had the tie, wouldn't even break the tie, the collar in his throat, because he wanted to be real pious. He wanted to real look real debonair. Had the Almighty suit on. But when the authority of Jesus came in, he said, let us alone, because it was the Holy Ghost. Too many people try to get up in front of the church and say, let me preach, let me preach, let me preach. Let me tell you something. You don't have to make a way for yourself. Your anointing will make a way for you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you let that Holy Ghost go. Say, sick 'em, Holy Ghost. Get out of here, Holy Ghost. Let's let it radiate out. And cause the authority that he had is talking about in verse 23. That was that anointing going forth. And things was happening. I'm going to tell you something that will happen when the anointing goes forth. Sanballat can't take it. Boy, I hope we can get in at least knee deep or maybe enough water tonight that we can't swim. Amen. I hope the anointing comes under that threshold and sweeps through this place tonight and something happens. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to try that wave. I've been in it before, but I'd like to try that wave. Hallelujah. Amen. That anointing can do it. Verse 24. We just read it. He said, let us alone. Now, what happened? See, there's something happened there. See, he was saying, let us alone, let us alone. Let's read down a little bit further. And in 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Hold thy peace. He had to be a Christian. Because only a Christian has peace. He had to be a Christian that had gotten demon-possessed. For Jesus to tell him to hold him, because if he could, he wouldn't have told him to hold his peace if he had never had peace. I never knew peace till I know Jesus. Amen. You seen the bumper sticker on the car? It says, N-O Jesus, N-O peace, K-N-O Jesus, K-N-O peace. So he says, hold your peace. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. Do you know that I do a lot of counseling as a minister, and one of my most anointed things that I can tell anybody, Bishop, is when they come in, they're having problems, I say, follow your peace. If you're a Christian, follow your peace. Amen? Follow your peace, follow your peace, follow your peace. Well, you got peace in. Well, what Jesus was saying, he was saying, follow your peace, because I'm fixing to call this demon out of you, because I have that authority. Is this all right? Are y'all with me? Y'all getting sleepy? Y'all getting hungry? Huh? You are?
Preach it, bro.
Hallelujah. So Jesus said, hold your peace. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 26. And when the unclean spirit had tore him and said unto him with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed, insomuch as they questioned them among themselves, saying, what thing is this? That what new doctrine is this? Man, they're casting out devils. First thing Jesus ever did, cast out a devil. What new doctrine? What are they doing up there in Lake Hamlin? Man, they're up there casting out devils, and people come from all over the United States just get them devils cast out. What's going on up there? I bet Brother Gene even got some snakes in the back that he's going to bring out on Memorial Day service. but they'll be handling snakes up there. What's going on here? And they were all amazed as much in verse 27, and they questioned among them, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For the authority commanded even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. See, it was them unclean spirits that we were ministering to that night in that boy that broke my arm. But the authority and the Holy Ghost repaired my arm. Yes. Listen to what he says in verse 28. And this is the second point I want to make. He says, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions round about Galilee. Boy, everybody run out of the church. Call the Gazette. Get the outpost. Get the paper. Man, there's deliverance over there. Something happens. I mean, Lord. Oh, they're handling snakes. Let's go watch them tonight. Persecution. Persecution. See, the first thing when you get power is what you're going to get. When you get in the ankle deep of the anointing, the flow of God. And the second thing you're going to get is persecution. Well, I want to be a deliverance minister. I have to laugh when I hear somebody say, I want to be a deliverance minister. I said, do you know what you're saying? I don't laugh when they say they want to be a minister. But when they specify, I want to get down and roll in the floor. I want to be kicked in the mouth. And I want to have my chair legs broke. And I want to have my walls busted and my hair pulled out of my head. I said, you just wait till your fame spreads a little bit. let me tell you about this first person that I was in deliverance with. Just gotten saved, you know, and she came to our house for deliverance, and I was not the one that was in charge of the deliverance there. And if I would have been, I sure would have got hurt. But they started praying with her and said, shoot, there ain't nothing to this. Now, you got to remember, I ain't got the Holy Ghost. Didn't know there was going to be any. Man, they was praying over her, and I said, shoot, I'll do that. And I jumped in and started praying over her. And you know what? See, she did not that spirit did not recognize the Holy Ghost in me. So that spirit reached over and grabbed me by the hair of the head, just like this, and picked me up, and I'm the same size now that I was then. And she was 111 pounds, and she picked me up and flung me like this. Boom! And I hit that corner and bounced off and hit that corner and bounced over here and hit the floor. Man, they run over and say, you all right? I said, man, I never got hit that hard when I played football. I shook it off and I said, time out. Realized there was something missing. But anyway, let me tell you what happened. We went ahead and got her delivered. And not knowing what had happened. So that night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, we went back into my living room. And I sat down on the hearth of the fireplace in our living room. And I had my hair a little bit longer then when it was black. But when it started getting gray, I started cutting it where you wouldn't see as much. So I was running my hair through my fingers through my hair. And when I, and my hair was breaking loose. And so I started putting this hair that was coming out of my head on the fireplace. And now you got to realize it was puffed up, but I had a stack of hair about like that. And when I was running my fingers through my hair, I felt something in my head. I said, what is this? What is it? I said, man, I don't know what this is stuck in my head. And what happened, when she grabbed me by the hair of the head, she stuck one of her fingernails into my scalp. And her fingernail broke off in my head. And her fingernail was about that long. And it was her fingernail. And I pulled that fingernail out. I said, man, look at this fingernail. And I took that fingernail and laid on my hair. And I was sitting on the hearth of my fireplace. And she was sitting about on the floor about as far as Ronnie was to me. And she takes off across that floor like a dog barking at me. Man, I said, Lord, let me just wait for him, you know. And so, man, they jump on her, start casting out the demon. So we went back in deliverance again. Now, this was at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I hadn't submitted to deliverance. I ain't told God I want to be a deliverance minister. And so finally we got her all settled down, and we found out that she had gone to Sanballat, the devil, and she wanted to kill me. And she had made a pact with the devil. And the devil told her if she would get a lock of my hair and one of my fingernails, they would complete the killing of me. And when I pulled that fingernail out of my head and laid on my hair, it upset that devil, and that devil took off. I'm going to tell you something. Devils are real. And me not knowing nothing about deliverance, I got the Holy Ghost real quick. I was like that little dog in the back of that car. Pastor had called for, "You want the Holy Ghost, Sonny?" I said, "Yes, sir." Didn't think you'd ask. But I got the Holy Ghost. I come forward. But the fame, people started hearing about it. Oh, they're doing deliverance at the tailor's house. They're doing deliverance at the tailor's house. I'd go to work. I was working in a plant at that time, working shift work. And my wife would go to bed, and this is what the devil would do, because, see, we were having people set free and delivered. We'd get them delivered. We'd carry them out, baptize them in the swimming pool. We'd start studying the Bible. He burnt my house down. But birds in the middle of the night would fly into the windows, in my bedroom windows, and they would kill themselves hitting that glass window and wake my wife up. I'd have to leave the plant and come home because she would be scared. But my fame, people started hearing about it, started getting people set free. See, this is what happened. See, then persecution. Oh, persecution. They called me at the plant one day and they said, "We hear you pray about anything." I said, "I'll pray about anything that moves. Anything that crawls, anything that stinks, I'll pray about it." And they said, "Well, we got a compressor over here in the plant broke down. We're going to send you over there and you go work on that compressor, and you ain't going to get off tonight. You're going to have to stay at work, and you're going to have to stay there until you get that compressor fixed." I went over and I laid hands on that compressor, and I told them to crank it up, and I cranked it up, and that compressor was well. Now, I don't know what Master Jesus did, but he fixed that compressor. And it made a believer out of them. Amen. I got to go to church that night. Went right on in church. Why? Because I believed that God could take and touch that compressor. Because, see, they had heard even at work what was happening in the tailor's house. Man, they got so upset with me at the plant when I got there, and they found out I got the Holy Ghost, and I was. They said, "We don't want you even sitting with the men. You're contaminating the men." I said, "Praise God, you know." And you're aggravating the men. I said, "I'm not aggravating the men. There's an anointing down on the inside that's causing them men to get upset." They said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put you in an office back there and a telephone back there, and you stay in that office and you don't come out unless we call you on the telephone." So they put me in that office, and I stayed in that office for 3 years. Carried my Bible to work every day. I studied. I went to Bible school. Was able to go to Bible school, go to school at work at night, and go to school in the daytime. For 3 years, they packed me in that office. They thought they was doing me harm. They was doing me good. Amen. Hallelujah. But see what happened? They put me in the wilderness. Man, I would have I'd be in that office and I'd have supervisors come up there, and I'd be scared to open the door. Because my supervisor put me in there and told me don't let anybody in, and I'd go to the door and be a supervisor from another department. He says, "Will you pray for me? I'm having family problems." I say, "Come on in." Man, the first part of my ministry, I made more money the first part of my ministry than I did the second half. I was getting paid by the hour the first part. Second half, I'm doing it by faith. Hope this is helping somebody. But see, I had to have that wilderness experience. See, Jesus had to have that wilderness experience. That wilderness experience is where you get the power. I've been at such peace this week. I'll tell you what, God told me to write a book. And I said something about this the last time I was up and I ministered about God told me to write a book. But I've got about five or six phone numbers. I've got cell phones, telephones, business lines, house phones, church phones. Ronnie knows what I'm talking about. I went down there the other day and my cell phone bill I was raising Cain, I got one of the best deals they had. It was $205 a month. You know, I said, man, this ain't much of a deal. Just my cell phone, $205 a month. You know, but I've never been at such peace. You know, if I could come up into have a wilderness experience, I believe I could get that book written that God's called me to write a book. But I can't find that wilderness in Louisiana. I can find some swamps. But no wilderness. Right? See, if I could come up and just sit in one of those chateaus that he has over there for a week, I believe I could write that book that God's given me. Every person I see that... brother, come here. I feel the anointing. Oh, Lord, hear you. Every person I see that ever writes books, I said, brother, God's given me a book, and I can give you the title, and I believe that you could finish it up, you know. I just feel the anointing. I feel it right. Yeah, there it is. There it is. I believe he wants you to write my book, brother. No, but I try to pass off, and you know what? You can't pass off what God's called you to do. See, and for years I've been trying to get people to write that book. I can give you the name. Who said give it? I believe it might be you going to write. Go get it. No, but the name of it is Finding Your Niche in God. See, people don't know how to find their niche in God. People go through life, what am I supposed to do? And when I leave the camp, I've heard them come up and say, when I leave the camp this week, Brother Green, they say to me, what am I supposed to do? I said, follow your peace. What's God calling you to do? Do what God's told you to do. Take it and do it. Hallelujah. How do I do it?
You can't write that book.
Why, you don't?
I already wrote it.
Well, I know. That's why I bought it. Well, I guess you'll have to put my name on it. That's Ghost Rider.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, anoint his mind. Put it all together. Because he's not going to write it, you are. Do it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to get Sister Mary to critique it. Okay. Hallelujah. Wilderness experience. But first, we'll find the power. The second will be the persecution. Verse 12, the power. Verse 28, the persecution. And I want to wind down. I've already gone too long. Verse 29. And forthwith, when they had come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and Jesus and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Verse 32. And at the eve, when the sun did set, they brought him all that was diseased and them that was possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. What do we see here today? There's three points we need to see. Verse 12. Get that power. The water is oozing at issue out from under the threshold for the rebuilding of the temple, that God can anoint you to do what he's called you to do. The second point, you're going to be persecuted. The second point, you're going to be persecuted. Point 3, verse 33, but you will see progress. You will see progress. Hallelujah. I want to pray at this time. If any of you are in any of those positions right now, you're going through the power, you're going through the persecution, or are you going through the progress? Do you need a wilderness experience? Is anybody here that, you know that God's called you to do something, you just don't know what, and you're ready to take off into your ministry? Your ministry is just starting to bloom. You're just starting to get directions. Are you here? That's good. That's good. Stand up if you are. Now, I like it. He stood up. I was talking to this brother the other day, and I asked him, was he ever a pastor? He said, I had a couple buildings and some people came. That was 20-something years again. But he said, now, I'm ready for some more power. I'm ready to start another ministry. Father, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for how you minister to us. Father, every person standing is prepared for the power to start a new ministry. Father, I ask right now you just minister to them with an anointing. Father, give them time in the wilderness that they'll be locked up with you. They'll spend time in your word, and that word will come alive. Father, that you will send prophets into their life. The prophets will prophesy the direction, the way that they should go. And Father, deliverance will come, and they will go. Now we send it forth right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And the Lord would say to you, don't be premature, say the Lord. Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you will not be like the prophet said. He jumped in early, got his arm broken. He says, because it's time to see the gospel furthered. He says, stay where you are. Learn where you are, saith the Lord. And he says, then I'll lead you out. Then I'll let you slide out from under the threshold, saith God. But you'll come out under the threshold with a new anointing. The things from the past are from the old. The things of the past from the old. And the things that have already gone under the threshold, saith God, that was the sacrifice that I let go when you gave your life to me, saith God. If you're here today and your ministry's already started and you're going through some persecution, I want you to stand, if you would, right where you are. You're being really persecuted. Father, I pray for my brother. Why don't you go back here and lay hands on him as we pray. I pray for my brother. Brother, would you go with him? Where is Greg? Greg, come lay hands with him, Greg. I know you're ministering right now. Greg, come lay hands. Just lay hands with him. He don't even hear me. Now, see, Mom won't get his voice. He won't hear me. Greg, lay hands with those men right there, right as we pray. Just lay hands. All you want, I want you to lay hands on the gentleman, the big gentleman there. Just lay hands with him. Just agree. Father, I thank you for my brothers. I thank you, Father, as they stand with him. I ask you just to minister to him in a special way. Father, I thank you that persecution isn't for always. But, Father, I thank you also that when we're being persecuted, you notice it and you see it. And you know it's Sanballat. And you know it's the devil. And you know that we're being attacked. But Father, I stand with my brother right now as we agree right now that persecution is fixing to subside because progress, as he walks out that door, he'll see that progress. As he sees that progress, he'll flow in your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Brother, your testimony is your strongest thing. Your testimony is the strongest thing that you have. Okay. Revelation 12:11. They live not their lives, but they testified, they testified, they testified. Hallelujah. The third area is the progress. Who's here in your ministry is just really going great? Just great guns. Great guns. See, that's the real danger area.
Father?
Yes, Lord. I know it's getting late. I'm going to tell you one testimony, and then I'm going to close, and I'm going to pray. One time, I was in a business, and I was down the road, and I had a van, and I pulled out in front of a car, and I ran him off the road. Didn't run him into the ditch, just ran him off the road. And, man, he got in behind me and blew his horn, pulled me over. I didn't know who he was. He had long hair. I thought he was one of my buddies, you know. And so, man, I'm sitting there, and he gets out and runs up and sticks a gun in my face. And he said, "You run me off the road." And I'm looking at a 9mm just like this, sitting in my van. And I said, "Well, I guess I'm going to die today." this fellow was hot. And I was scared. And so, you know, I said, "Well, I've only got one defense. I just knocked the devil out of him." Now, you got to realize I'm sitting in my truck, my van truck, and I'm sitting there with a steering wheel right here, and he's right there. And I thought, pow! And I knocked him down on the ground. And I said, "Uh-oh, I done made a mistake." So I said, "I'm going to try and play some of them Roy Rogers movies, you know." And he goes, pow, pow. So I was going to try to get out of my van and try to hide from him from shooting at me. But as I was going to go out the other door on the other side, my feet, you know, I got a good understanding, they're 12s. And my feet got hung up in the accelerator and the brake pedal, and I fell in the floor. Well, at the same time I fell, he stuck that gun back in there and shot. And it hit me here, and here, and here, and here. And went out the windshield. And so he jumps in the vehicle and leaves. And I was going to Mexico the next day and went to the hospital. And the man, they said, "Man, you are something else. We don't know. We don't even know if you're going to live." I said, I'm going to live. You know, that shot is going to be, you know, worse than this little operation I'm going down for, this throat cancer in New Orleans Friday. I said, "I'm going to live." I said, "Man, I'm going to Mexico the next day." And he said, "No, the surgeon said, we're going to keep you in here." I said, "No, I'm going." Well, they put a splint on my arm, and I was black and blue from here to here. I couldn't even get a shirt on. So next day, me and my family, and we all go to Mexico. And I'm walking around the streets in Mexico and black and blue. And one of the little old Mexicans walked up to me and said, "Bad hombre." But make a long story short, they found him. We went to court. And the judge said in court that day, he said, "We have two lucky young men here." Looked at me, says, "Lucky you're not dead." Looked at the other one, says, "Lucky you're not going to the state prison for 40 years of your life." And so I held a grudge for many, many years against that fellow. Kind of understandable, huh? And in the natural, we said, "Well, that'd be natural, huh?" Anything. I just eased over in his lane and ran him off a four-lane lane. So then, years later, I got saved. One day I was in a church service, big church in Baton Rouge, and man, I was just praising God, just having a great time.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.